A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then too will appear with him. Then you too will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Christ. Out of the tomb he is risen. He has conquered death, opened heaven to all believers.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran. But the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. One of the things that all four of the Gospels have in common with regard to the resurrection scenes is that Mary Magdala, or Mary of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene, is at the center of the discovery of the tomb and also of the initial announcement to the apostles of what she has discovered. Hence, she has been given the title the Apostle to the Apostles with regard to the great mystery of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. The narrative of John's Gospel today presents us with Mary of Magdala going to the tomb early in the morning while still dark. That in itself is significant in John's Gospel. Darkness always communicating, symbolizing, not having clear clarity about something, struggling still in the fog, so to speak. And understandably so, because of what they witnessed beforehand. But not long after that's mentioned, it points out what's unusual about the scene. The stone rolled away from this tomb, which was no little situation, and no doubt this in itself caused her to wonder what on earth has happened here. She runs immediately back to Peter and John, disturbed by this, disclosing to them what she's seen and discovered. They go. We're told that the beloved disciple runs faster than Peter, gets there first, he looks in but doesn't enter. Love always deferring to the authority. So once Peter goes in and then John goes in, we're told he saw and he believed. But we know he did not believe completely or have a full understanding, as we hear the gospel say, as they emerged from the tomb, they were still trying to understand what it means for one to rise from the dead. But the fact that John says he saw and believed means he began to believe. Now, we may wonder, why is that? Why was it that John was the one who began to believe and not Peter? Since Peter was entrusted with the keys, Peter had so many privileged moments with Jesus. Why was it that John was the one? Well, it's like this. When someone experiences a profound love, think about a mother in relationship to her child. How many days, how many weeks does a mother, a newborn child, smiles at the child, just smiles at them, looking to elicit a smile in response, and eventually that smile comes forth. The smile communicated by the mother is the expression of love, and that elicits love from the child. And once that happens, that love enables knowledge of the other to be established. And so the same thing could be true of the Lord God, our Father, revealing himself in the fullness of time in the person of Jesus the Christ. God interpreting himself for us by radiating love. And those receptive to that love begin to express love in return. So we can ponder and consider possibly that was the reason why John, of all of them, was always quick to recognize Jesus in the post-resurrection era. But it's also important to note that the tomb, this reference to the tomb, is mentioned 7 times in the course of 9 verses in this pericope of John's Gospel, this section of John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 1 through 9. 7 times. Remember, John's Gospel is a gospel that relays Jesus' miracles as signs. He doesn't refer to them as miracles. He refers to them as signs. And so what signs does the Lord leave us on this first day of the week, this first day of the new creation? This is also important. The Gospels highlight and make it a point to say that it was the day after the Sabbath. Many people erroneously equate the Sabbath with the Sunday. Sunday is not the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday. That was when God rested from the first creation. So the fact that Jesus is being presented as being raised up, resurrected on the first day of the week following the Sabbath, this means it's more than just the fact that he's victorious over sin and death, realizing our own assurance of a resurrection, as St. Paul confirms for us today in his letter to the Colossians. Seek that which is above. Seek that which is of heaven and not that which is of earth. For if you have died in Christ, then just as he was raised up, you shall be raised up. Your life is hidden now in God, in Christ. But the significance of the fact that it speaks to us about the fact that Jesus comes forth on the day after the Sabbath, this is the first day of the new creation. The apostles, the disciples at the time, eating with Jesus the night before his death, received what was necessary to be regenerated, to be divinized after their earthly sojourn would happen. They had not yet been clothed with the Holy Spirit. Hence, we can see the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit as we see Peter preaching boldly and with great conviction and understanding. Now that he has been clothed with power from on high, the Acts of the Apostles highlights what happens after they receive the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. So we are being encouraged today to consider the discovery of what they see. The burial linens there. The fact that those linens were left in the tomb debunks this theory that the body of Jesus was taken by robbers. Because the linens that were used to wrap Jesus were very costly. They spared no expense. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus spared no expense when it came to the preparation of the burial of the Lord Jesus. And the women, we are told in the Gospel of the Vigil, from Matthew's perspective, were very attentive to all of the details of everything. They were with Jesus throughout his public ministry, but especially in his hour of great need. As he hung upon the cross, as he spoke his last, as he was brought down from the cross, as his body was being prepared, as it was entombed, they remained. And we can understand that. Think about the times when we have had to witness the burial of our own loved ones, how hard it is to walk away from the tomb so quickly. We want to, we hang around. We try to have some semblance of of what has happened, and then we're thinking, we're longing for the day when we will see them again. All of these things are very real and have been validated by the details of the gospel. But we are also being encouraged to consider the fact that these women went in between the time of the crucifixion to the day after the Sabbath to attend to Jesus. Think about what they must have been exposed to, being recognized as followers of Jesus in the wake of the humiliating, horrific way in which he was put to death publicly, given all that he has said and done. You can imagine the ridicule. You can imagine some of the taunting. Who knows what types of things were done to them, and yet they persisted. They were driven by their love for the Lord. They went to tend to his body, his most sacred and holy body. They were going to tend to it. Nobody had the expectation to discover what we hear recounted in the gospel. No one. And yet, isn't that puzzling? If anyone should have been expecting it, if anyone should have been preparing for it, it should have been the disciples. Jesus, we're told at least three times the gospels record, he predicted and told them in advance what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem, that he would be put to death and on the third day rise up. But guess who, ironically, remembered what he said and took steps to try and suppress such a reality? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the leading authorities of the time. They were the ones who sought out having God set there. Last night, the angel appeared as lightning from the sky, an earthquake. The two gods were like dead men. The women were shocked and being told, do not be afraid, come and see. You seek Jesus, the crucified, he's not here, come and see. He has been risen just as he said. Now go and tell his disciples to go to Galilee, and there they will see him. They went away filled with joy and fear, and as they were going on the way, then Jesus himself appears. I posed the question last night, why is it that Jesus appears after the fact? Why wouldn't he be the one at the tomb to greet the women when they came? Now, I think it's perhaps twofold, to affirm the message of the angel, but also to confirm for us and to reveal to us that it was what constituted the fall of our first parents, a lack of trust, a lack of faith and obedience to the word of God that brought about the fall of Adam and Eve. And so what will bring about the rising of the human race in relationship to the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ is faith and obedience to the word of God now that this has been fulfilled. And so they are rewarded for their obedience and their faith. They clung to his feet. You often say, well, Mary had a foot fetish. She was always grabbing Jesus' feet, clinging to his feet. But in essence, she was confirming the word of the scripture. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Jesus is the embodiment of the greatest news one could ever hold and expect. So when Peter and John discover the wrappings, the linens, they are convinced that his body has indeed miraculously been raised up, that he has indeed, he's alive. They can't figure it. They don't understand it, but they know from what they see. And they're probably remembering what happened when Lazarus was called forth from the tomb after being in the tomb over 4 days. He came forth wrapped from head to toe. Jesus says, untie him, let him go. So that in itself was indicative of the fact that Lazarus would have to die again. Jesus is realizing for us a new creation, a new reality of what all of us are going to experience on that day when we too are raised up in a glorified body to be with him forever in that place prepared for us in the household of the Father. Another significant thing. Last night, when the women met Jesus, not too far away from the tomb, Jesus repeating the message of the angel, but with one corrective. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The angel said, go and tell his disciples. Now Jesus designates them as his brothers. First, at the Last Supper, I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends. From friendship to discipleship, now to brothers and sisters. We are members of the household of God, not just of the chosen people of the old covenant. We are children of God in the new and eternal covenant, consummated now in Jesus the Christ. But you know what strikes me more than anything else? Is the fact that the disciples, despite everything that was going on, they continued to return, especially the women, continuing to return to scenes that were not anything but pleasant. This devastating, disastrous, reminds me of the first responders that oftentimes are going headlong into disaster sites to deal with whatever, to try and save and salvage whatever they could. Members of the healthcare profession who deal with palliative care, who are treating people who have terminal illnesses, and yet they persist. In whatever the situation is, they persist with this conviction that there is a significance, there is a value to what they are doing. That the love that they are expressing in this service means something. It's significant. That's hope. That's a hope that doesn't disappoint. And we know this. Hope in God does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. Consider the signs of the times. I mentioned at the 9 o'clock Mass, I was watching the Masters tournament in Augusta, Georgia, but I couldn't keep myself. I had to force myself away from the TV because I was preparing for the great feast that we celebrate today. But then to find out, I find my phone is blowing up with a video of three trees that fall simultaneously on the golf course. Three pine trees simultaneously collapsed at the same time on Good Friday. Do you think that was a coincidence? Absolutely not. Three trees, one for Jesus and one for the two thieves on his right and on his left. And miraculously, no one was crushed. No one was harmed. And if that's not enough, let us look a little bit before the Masters Tournament. The LSU Lady Tigers basketball team. Who expected them to even make it close to the final four, much less the championship game? And to hear Mulkey, the head coach, giving testimony and witnessing to the faith. And on a Palm Sunday, she said, as they interviewed her afterwards, and how she was full of tears and joy. And on Palm Sunday, what a joy. I'm so happy for Louisiana. I'm so happy for my brothers and sisters back home in Louisiana. Oh, yes. Signs all around us that miracles are happening. It's all a matter of perspective, and it's all a matter of how we understand and see the workings of God. And of course, all the controversy about, I can't see you. I can't see you. I can't see you. Well, that which was once invisible now has become visible. Because more powerful and more expressive and exciting than buzzer beaters, Cinderella stories, and any other sports event that just captures us makes us fill of joy with elation, is the fact that Jesus the Christ crucified is risen from the dead. And he loves us unto death in such a way that he will bring us through to the other side. Peter and John discerned this much. And they have handed this down. This is the gospel that's been handed down to this present day. And you notice something else. No one then nor now denies the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. They try to twist the story this way and that way, but no one has ever maintained that he did not rise from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, just as he said he would. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad as we too are given the charge to discern the empty tomb and the signs that God has left for us to discern rightly the way, the truth, and the life, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God love you.